Another year, another marvel at FIDM.
Yes, yes.
And I'm here with Nick Verrios, who is going to let us know about everything.
Yes, I'll give you all the costume inside dish. Thank you for being here, Sheila. It's always a pleasure to do this interview and to show you around, to give you a special VIP tour of the exhibition.
Great. Tell us and our audience what we're going to see and who are the Oscar nominees.
Great, great. We're here at the 28th Annual Art of Motion Picture Costume Design Exhibition. Once again, right here at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, FIDM. And yes, this is our 28th year, and we have over 100 costumes from 30 films, including the five best costume nominees for the Oscar this year.
What movies?
Well, let's start. Let's start with The Irishman. And that is one of the nominated movies for Best Costume. And of course, that is Sandy Powell and her former assistant, Christopher Peterson, who then she made co-designer. Why? Because she said this was such an immense project. It is so huge. It takes place in five decades, imagine. And so there were so many costumes to make, so many extras that she's like, I need some help. Now, he took care of a lot of the menswear, but we're talking about so many costumes going through five decades from the 1950s to 2003. She said it was like doing 3 to 4 films at once. Now, let me give you some inside dish. There were so many fittings, 400 fittings for the main characters and 6,500 for the extras. De Niro alone had 102 wardrobe changes, and his fittings took place in 4 hours. She was saying it was like getting in and out, in and out. She had 10 to 12 of these fittings. Now, some of the suits that you see in Irishman, it's a mixture of vintage as well as custom made. And each decade, she gave a color palette to each decade. So think about this. The 50s were more blues and grays. The 60s, mustards and olives. The 70s, burgundies and browns. Of course, Miami, a very pastel look to it. But it was an immense film undertaking.
Well, good luck to her. I saw the film and loved it. And I've interviewed Sandy Powell in
yes,
the past.
Yes, yes. She's been here to the exhibition, yes.
And next we
We have Jojo Rabbit, which actually just won for the Costume Guild Awards for Best Period Costume. So their chances, I guess, are going up. Now, this movie, of course, now this is Mayas Rubio. She's a Mexican costume designer who lives in Italy, and she also did Avatar. Now, the movie, of course, is a World War II coming-of-age anti-hate satire. And of course, it's all about Nazi Germany looks. Now, the director said that he wanted wartime, but wartime through the eyes of a child. So that's why it's colorful. That's why, if you can even think of this word with that Nazi Germany period, fun. And he wanted it to look like that. So, you know, you see the eyes of a child and how they see that time, summertime, during this time. Now, let's talk about some of the costumes, particularly, I think the costume muse in the movie is Jojo's mom, played by Scarlett Johansson. Now, her look was very chic. And I guess I did some reading and I found out that there was such a thing as Nazi chic. The German women at the time were thought to be some of the most fashion-forward women. Why? Because their husbands would go to Paris and then come back to Berlin with copies of the couture. And so these women dressed up. So the costume designer's version for Jojo's mom was this kind of artsy, fashion-forward woman who she thought would be a friend of Elsa Schiaparelli. And so you see a lot of architecture, you see a lot of art in her clothing, the Missoni zigzag sweaters, the colorful shoes, the architectural hats. And the costume designer also said she was influenced by Sonia Delaunay and the Orphism movement. So she really wanted to think a little bit more artsy when it came to the mom and sort of not look at a dreary version of World War II. But you notice in the movie, it starts out very colorful and the colors change as Jojo starts really realizing what's going on. And so you see that color, you see the change.
Now, and I understand that in Italy, she has quite a library of fashion.
Yes, yes, a lot of fashion, textiles, and she collects all that stuff. So that's why you see a lot of that influence from the costume designer living in Italy, and you see that influence in what Scarlett Johansson's character is wearing. Yeah, for sure. Now let's move on. Yes. Another nominee for Best Costume is Mark Bridges, costume designer for Joker.
And we love Mark Bridges.
Yes, yes.
Last year we got him.
He's so wonderful.
And he also won the jet ski.
Yes, he did. He won the jet ski, which I hear he donated. By the way, we saw him with Helen Mirren on top of that jet ski at the Academy Awards. Now, he won his second Oscar for Phantom Thread. And now the movie, of course, we know Joker, and it's set in Gotham City in 1981. Arthur Fleck, he's the main character, he's mentally ill, aspiring comedian, and he lived a troubled life. Now, this is the second time that Mark Bridges has worked with Joaquin Phoenix. He worked with him in The Master as well as Inherent Vice, so he knew a little bit about him, but he has a lot of weight changes, so he didn't know whether he would be a little more weightier Joaquin or a thinner Joaquin. And the costumes are really about a visual transformation of the man. You know, he starts out as this sort of Charlie Chaplin-esque clown character, and then he gets into more of a sleek criminal.
And you see, a
phenomenal performance. And you see that the costumes play a lot of that to help you visualize the character. He overdyed everything, and most of it is custom made. And he overdyed it. Why? Because Joaquin Phoenix also had a stunt double. So they couldn't just buy a thrift store because they needed doubles, triples of it. And so that's why. But everything was overdyed because think about this. He wanted to look like, because he lives with his mom and he does his laundry, he wanted it to look like the way it looks like when we wash our clothes in a really bad washer. Can you believe these costume designers, they think about this thing. So that's why he wanted the clothes to look like they've been through a bad laundry machine. And you see that kind of transformation in the clothing. The Joker suit that we see that we have here, it's very 70s inspired. It's a little dated, a little outdated. You see it in the flared pants, you see it in the wide lapels. Why? It's late 70s, even though it's 1981, because he thought this guy probably just kept this 70s suit. And in fact, when we think of 1981, we're still in the 70s. We're still in the late 70s. We're still in disco era. You know, it's not really hit the 80s as we know it. The clown suit that we see, the first clown that we see in the beginning, that was really inspired by Charlie Chaplin and the Tramp. Mm-hmm. You see it in the big shoes. Mm-hmm. You see it in the way that it looks like. And most of that was actually vintage as well. Yeah. Do we want to talk about Little Women?
Oh,
let's
yes.
do it. All right, Little Women. Now, that's nominated as well, and that's Jacqueline Duran. And she has done Pride and Prejudice, Atonement, and 1917, which we also have here on display in the exhibition. Now, her mission, she wanted to make vintage clothes look desirable and coveted for us, for the modern viewer. So there's a lot of scenes, for example, the Paris scene with Amy in that little cape and that blue gown, that could have come off an Alessandro Michele Gucci fashion show like that. And that was the point. You know, so it's a mixture of true vintage and mixed period as well. It's set in the 1850s, 1860s. The March sisters, each of them had their own color palette. So if you watch the movie again, you see that a certain girl is more burgundy. Amy, of course, she's more in the blue tone. And Jojo, you see more browns, a little reds. Let's talk about a couple of the sisters. Jo, she is the writer. Tomboy, she's a nonconformist. No corset. And pants, you know? And she wants movement, freedom, because she is a modern. You can see those are hints. Those are visual costume hints that this is a modern woman of the time.
I'm
with Joe. There you go. Amy, of course, she is more of the decorated one. You know, she's the one who goes to Paris, studies art, and she was inspired by Impressionist paintings. So you see her, she's a little more of the fashionista of the sisters. Now, let me tell you, I was reading, in that period, you had to put on almost 7 garments. Sheila. 7 garments. Let me name these for you. Bloomers, chemise, corset, a hoop, petticoat, a skirt, and a bodice. 7 garments. So Jacqueline Duran, she played a little bit of a license as a costume designer. She didn't include all that in the costumes because it was just too much. And you notice the colors are a little acidy, a little bright. Why? Because they're in Concord, Massachusetts. That's where it's set. And it's almost permanently winter. So she wanted to brighten things up, you know? So that was Little Women, and I think that's why it was nominated. Now let's talk about once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yes. Ariane Phillips. Now, Ariane Phillips, costume designer, she's done Madonna's W.E., the movie about, of course, Wallace Simpson, and The Walk the Line, as well as Tom Ford's Nocturnal Animals. Now, this is set in 1969, Los Angeles. This is a time of turmoil and a time of culture change, rebellion, hippies, and freedom, and jeans. A lot of jeans, and jeans worn to places that normally they wouldn't be allowed to be worn in, you know, like a restaurant.
Or pants.
So she really wanted to not make it kind of like a fashion show, but really wanted to show what was going on with the times with a lot of the characters that you see in there. Now, Ariane Phillips, she put together a big package for Tarantino. Now, let me tell you some inside dish. She was actually filming, she was prepping for the Patty Hearst movie in San Francisco. So she was looking for that same period of clothing in vintage shops. And she heard that Tarantino might be making a movie of the same kind. So her friends told her, you better go to all the costume shops and take everything before Tarantino does. And then, guess what happened? Patty Hearst found out about the movie, and she did not approve. It closed down the entire movie. So she was done. So guess what Ariane Phillips did? She went right to Tarantino, and she read the script. She went to his house, 2.5 hours, no paper, no cell phone, nothing. And she put together a package for him, which included a Hawaiian shirt, a CD, and visuals. And she got the job. And so, speaking of the Hawaiian shirt, it's here. Brad Pitt wears it, of course. And it's kind of part of the vernacular of Tarantino. You see
so
that Hawaiian shirt.
Designers also have to be salespeople.
Yes. Oh, yes, they do. They do. Designers definitely have to be salespeople. The Hawaiian shirt, you notice that Brad Pitt is wearing yellow. Why? Yellow is the color of Southern California. And the boots, the cowboy boots that you see on Leonardo DiCaprio. A lot of those costumes, it's about telling a story. And what Ariane Phillips is wonderful at, she gives talisman, little things, trinkets to each of the characters. She calls them beam me up things, like beam me up, Scotty. So, for example, Margot Robbie, who plays Sharon Tate, Deborah Tate, Sharon's sister, she allowed some of her jewelry to be worn. So Margot Robbie wore some of her rings and earrings, and that really helped her transform herself. And so you see a lot of those details. I think that that's what makes Ariane Phillips wonderful. I think this exhibition, above all others, really shows how important characters are to film and really plays an homage to that.
Thank you so much, Nick, for getting us inside what's happening.
Thank you, Sheila.
You.